Alleluia. The good news of Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the crowds, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is
risen. So when last we saw our disciples, they were in the room they had been in when they last celebrated meal together. This is an important setup for us because it contrasts who the disciples are with what Jesus has to offer them. They were in there, up there, behind locked doors, out of fear. It is to this fear that Jesus preaches and says, "Peace be with you." Fear, sadly, has been a trademark of some Christian churches since time immemorial. And just because Jesus came and said, do not be afraid, doesn't mean that many of us still don't harbor a place in our hearts for fear. Fear sells. Fear is a motivator for most people. It keeps people in line with the law as preached. Fear puts people in the pew. It sells books and gets candidates elected. It sounds like a threat to conformity. It sounds like here you can earn the promise of heaven. Yet there are some who avoid buying into fear, maybe at least in part. There are those Christians who are comfortable with ambiguity and uncertainty and embrace mystery. From them you'll hear things like, we should love our enemies and care for our strangers. Sad thing is those kind of watchwords don't sell books or put bodies in pews. There was an op-ed on Easter morning by David French. And his question on the headline was, were you raised in a church that fears the world or loves its neighbors? And he contrasts those two churches. Fear the world church, love your neighbor church. It's not, I'm certain, and I know this and so do you, it's not that binary for everyone, as both elements are present in each other's churches. But there is a dominant tone from these two communities that define them as being mostly in one camp or the other. Some definitions of fear the world church. Those folks cast aspersions on the secular world, believes the church is under siege, that we must be prepared for a real fight in a battle of persecution, and to believe in the primary of law and order. This leads some adherents into a defensive posture with the world and most of the people in it. Except for those who think and worship like me. To those who disagree with this approach, adherents to the fear of the world church often are heard saying, you just don't get it. In the love your neighbor church, there seems to be little room for fear. Its aim is to follow Christ's pattern of caring for the suffering, for the immigrant, for the refugee, even the children, the alienated, the sick, and all to bring life out of death. The role of church leaders cannot be underestimated for promoting one kind of tone over another. Whether fear or love, either may not be fundamental for a church, but the messaging of a pastor that pastor adopts from a relationship to politics and social issues can provide deceptive influence on how the gospel is preached and heard. What many sociologists and psychologists report is that these two churches may not be just about churches. It may be about the rooted personalities of who folks are. One that has a higher level of disgust with the world, who likes things delineated and clearly defined, the other that is okay with ambiguity and is artistic and free-flowing and maybe even loosey-goosey. Now, we are different people. All of us are unique. And we have strengths, weaknesses, and histories. We each have an orientation that in some ways we can choose not to indulge. What we see in the exchange today between Jesus and Thomas is a sanctification process that allows Thomas to change his default response to wonder and fear and to discover what is available in mystery. We cannot become what we are not. But by God's grace and the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we have the capacity to choose which lens we see and respond to the world with. I hear in this passage with Jesus and Thomas an echo of what we hear from the prophet Micah, who talks about walking humbly. The prophet suggests that the orientation, the disposition which feels natural to me, may not be the best way for me to respond in all circumstances. Instead of adopting a defensive posture, saying, "This is who I am," and doubling down on my obstinance, we have the grace to choose different. Pay attention to what Jesus gives to his followers as he prepares to leave them. This is not the shalom peace in the vernacular of his day. It's the gift of peace that is Christ himself. This is a peace that has transformative power to change the world, starting with ourselves. Christ also gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And since God is love, what we are given is love. What Jesus is giving us is a peace that invites us to let go of fear. It's a powerful love that endows us with the courage to change our default disposition and to make choices based in love. I'm here to tell you that you and I are part of a church that believes in loving our neighbor. We have been given and fully possess a gift that empowers us to be a connection for people who are lost, to be healers of people who are broken, to banish fear in ourselves and in others. A church that empowers us, a God who empowers us to do what Jesus did, and far more besides. In his name, amen.